Mike just took out the mic. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Full Spectrum Cycling, show number 55 from the River West studio of Everyday Cycles here in River West, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, universe, etc. Got JK.
Oi. Yeah.
Tony.
Hey.
And joining us from way across the street, Caddy Corner, as they say here in Milwaukee, Tim from Black Husky Brewing.
What's going on, man?
Yeah. Hey, Tim.
Right on.
Caddy reference with a husky?
I don't know.
That's what they say. Cat dog.
The funny thing about that is that place was at one point called Mac Daddy's Caddy's Repair Shop.
It was
a Cadillac only repair shop.
Really?
Yeah. Very, very briefly before you guys bought the place.
It was. It was kind of always a little hot rod shop.
Yeah, it was always like some sort of little car. Well, obviously, but yeah. It was for a very brief period, and I remember looking over and kind of laughing. Then it was manual for quite a while.
It was a potato chip factory for a while, too, and a cookie factory.
Wow.
Built in 1920, so it's 100 years old.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah, so Tim has been there for what, 5 years?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. Same thing.
Yeah, close
pretty
enough.
Much. But you're not new to brewing.
I am not. We've been in business. It'll be 10 years. Yeah, it's pretty much 10 years now. What the hell? Who's give or take a month or so? But yeah, we started up in Pembine, northern Wisconsin. In fact, we were just there today. We came back a couple hours ago. And
traveling to your second home.
Yeah, so Pembine's always going to be home. That's kind of where, that's where they'll spread my ashes, even though actually what I really want to do is we're on a really small lake up there. It's kind of it's a mucky bottom lake. There's like no sand or anything on it. It's a good place to go and just kind of hang out and, watch the wildlife and stuff. But how I want to go is I love working with wood. And I want to make a little Viking ship, and I want to burned. On. I want to be burned out in
yes,
the middle of the lake.
That's
I'd like to be there for that.
I'm certain Tony can take care of that.
Yeah,
considering our wives will outlive us, we all know that.
That's the way it works. Look at Tony being all social distancing over there.
I am.
It's a solid six.
Yeah,
solid.
But I have to come in to get my beer. So
pushing the envelope. It's two arms. Yeah. You're like four arms away.
I am. Well, but I got.
We have short arms.
Short guys.
Very short arms.
Yeah.
So besides Tim being our neighbor here at Everyday Cycles, it's and the brewery thing, which we've had Black Husky, I don't know how many times we've had Dogfather on, but we've had several of the beers from your fine establishment as our show beer. And but you also are into cycling.
Yes, I am. And kind of how I got into cycling was I've always been a very active person. Back in the day, I used to be in powerlifting, so I loved lifting weights. I was my heaviest. I was 275.
And massive.
Yeah, I was pretty chubby, but my best bench was 500. So I was a pretty solid powerlifter. When we started the business, all of a sudden, I'm like, I can't peel an orange without getting out of breath. So I've got to kind of start getting in better shape. So I started running, and I did that for quite a few years. But, my knees are shot right now. So last year, we started cycling. So one of our good friends is Katie Zanzig. She lives over here in the hood, too, with us. And she got us into doing the Scenic Shore 150. So we did that last year, and we had a blast. It was great. I could get out there and bike and have no problems with my knees at all. Yeah. Get a lot of exercise. It was, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Super. Yeah, it was definitely interesting to see you guys bring the bike that Tony had an incident on over last summer. But I'm glad you guys are enjoying it. And I, at the brewery, I've seen lots of cyclists stop over there. And I know we've had our Surly demo night over there,
that was
and
fantastic.
I think you've had other cycling events too. Correct.
Yeah, we do a few here and there. We wouldn't mind doing more. I mean, I think it's a great thing to do. If you're going to, all of us, when we start getting into these different kind of exercises that we do, whether it's running or lifting or biking or anything, it gets to be a real obsession. And I don't think it's a bad thing, to be honest with you. I think it's a good thing to, to get out there and challenge yourself and, kind of push yourself, because I mean, our jobs aren't, it's not like when we were, you know, out on the farm or, you know, out in the woods when you're working all day. We have, you know, relatively sedentary lifestyle. And so this kind of stuff really is, it can be fun. It can be good for you, and it can also build a lot of community, which I think is the one thing I would say about River West that I've been really surprised with, even though I heard a lot about it, but I, you know, you hear a lot of shit, you know, these people say stuff all the time. River West is the best community in Milwaukee by far.
And here, here.
Yeah. People just are, they're salt of the earth people, you know, we're all, you know, real, and we hang out and we do stuff together. I love being here in River West.
Made a good call putting that place where you put it.
29 years now for me, other than a quick trip to Chicago, to Colorado. But yeah, this is home, man.
Yeah, if Black Husky wasn't a brewery, it sure would make a nice bike shop over there.
I just thought, you know, the only thing I thought of when it went for sale is I could live here.
Yeah, for sure.
Literally, like, I could see that where the brewery is, that would make such a cool space to have, like, a big stereo and just...
You'd be like Dan Tana and drive your car right into your living room.
Yeah.
Turns out, I kind of do live there.
Yeah, of course.
Not so much now.
But still have more space there, too, if you need it, right?
Yeah, upstairs. Well, upstairs where the apartment, air quotes, is at. And it's a mess up there. I do... That's where I have my weights. We have it's called a Tim Gym.
You know, very nice.
Nice.
That's excellent. Cool. So as it's a little early, but I'm thirsty.
That's
the top of the hill, which means we got to drink our beer and talk about our beer a little bit. Yeah. So let's have a swallow of Yes She Can Pale Ale from Black Husky.
That's quite a fantastic.
Since Tim's here and he brews this, we might just ask him what he's going for and explain it a little bit. Because
this is a collaboration beer that we did with Lakefront and Gathering Place and Company, and it's a fundraiser for the Pink Boot Society, which is an organization, international organization that promotes women in brewing. And through, you know, different fundraisers and education and so on. So we actually worked a lot with the ladies from those four breweries. Tony kind of was the one that spearheaded that. And Sam and I from Company, her and I worked a lot on coming up with the recipe. Typically, my beers are going to be a little bit bigger than this. And Sam wanted something a little bit smaller. She wanted more of a, you know, more sessionable beer. Most of my beers are 7.5%. You know, that's a session.
So, yeah, when you say big beer, you're talking the alcohol by volume?
Alcohol content is a big beer. Yeah. You know,
But even 6% is not really a session, is it?
It is to me.
I was watching that. Yeah. That's
like, right?
Excellent.
It's like
answer.
All day IPA is 4.5. That's kind of a session for me.
No, that's a foreign. That's why I have hams.
Gotcha.
You know,
so the beer water is.
Yep.
Hams. It's real beer water. You know, I mean, if I'm going to, I have had very few good session IPAs. So if I feel like I need to coast, I will grab some hams. Anybody who's been by me knows that I probably have 30 packs of hams by me right now because it can be a long day sometimes. And you want to socialize, so I'll grab a hams. But I have had very, very, very few good session IPAs. So this one is very similar to the grain bill. Is very similar to what we typically do. It's got some oats in it. It's about 6%, 6%. It has the hot blend is the Pink Boots hot blend. So it's El Dorado, Laurel, Azaka, and Idaho Gem, which were the four that they put together at the JBF in last fall. And so, I mean, it's a nice sessionable beer. It's probably got a little bit, I guess it's not as bitter as I thought it was when I initially brought it out. Yeah, it's a solid beer.
It's a solid beer for sure.
And the thing is that, you know, you're also, you know, at least a dollar out of every four pack is going back to them.
Fantastic.
We've got we got some corporate sponsors. Al Jan from Oak Creek provided the cans and the labels, and Malt Europe on the south side. We used to, be Freighter Malt down there on 43rd. Yep, yep. They provided the all the grain, and Lakefront the yeast, and we provided the we paid for the hops. And it was really a fun day. It was March 8th, okay, I think. Cool. March 8th or March 9th. And after that was when the shit hit the fan. So we got this, you know, just kind of last bang right out. In. Yeah. So it was fun. It was a fun day. It's a fun event. It's a great, great cause.
Can this be had somewhere? Where can we get this?
Hey. At this point, there's a few places that are... Well, you know, you can't get it on tap anywhere because we don't do tap beer.
Right, right, right.
But at this point, I think Discount has some. I think Raise has some. There's a few odds and ends of places that have some cans. Otherwise, you can come to the tap room and get it. We are going to do another canning run in the next couple of weeks, and we're going to have some more stuff out there. So it should, and it's actually in Green Bay. It's in Madison as well.
And when are you open for doing your hours currently during this situation?
You make me think now.
yep.
Okay, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 4 to 7. Saturday and Sunday, noon until 4. We're closed for Easter this year. I don't really know why we closed for Easter.
It's basically you and...
Did you just talk earlier about Voice of Christian Youth, and you're wondering why you're closed on Easter?
I don't really practice anymore. Okay. You know?
Tim was relating to us his previous radio experience in his early youth at the
Voice of
Christian Youth radio station.
Yes, that's where he
practiced those dulcet tones you're hearing. So you can he's got a radio voice, all right.
Yeah, he does. I'm what you call a recovering Catholic.
You're recovering Catholic. Yeah, you were the competition.
Yeah.
We were basically Baptist, which is, I don't know, they're just like Catholics, but meaner, you know?
Okay.
And more Southern, mostly?
We were Northern Baptist, though.
Okay.
So there's a difference, because Southern Baptists are actually kind of fun.
All the singing and the carrying on and the...
Speaking in tongues once in a while. Sure, sure. You know, that's all kind of... The music is great. I love Southern gospel music. You know,
absolutely.
It's good.
Yeah. Yep. We'll have to talk about my family history sometime. They settled in Utah, so that should give you an idea about what that's like.
That explains the beard, right?
Hey,
my
grandfather
beard.
Got excommunicated or kicked out or summarily released from his obligations or whatever it was, so didn't have to be a practicing Mormon, but it is an interesting history, and
it's fascinating.
If you want to know about, if I wanted to know, which I do, about my family, because it was pretty ingrained in the early part of the church, it's easy to go find out about it because they're pretty good at that kind of lineage business.
Yeah.
What with believing you know, your afterlife is carrying on what happened here and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
But don't think like their own planet.
I don't know. That's not as far as I know.
Might,
you know, and there's different planet. There's different versions of it too. There's the FDS, FDLS or whatever, the LDS, and there's different sects and different
magic
versions.
Skitties.
Yeah, now I'm not an expert on the magic church by any means. Just my family's history within it. Basically,
I had no idea about this planet. I might be in on
that. Yeah, I know.
I mean, you know, come on, that's kind of believable.
Well, if Maria Osmond's going to be there,
Well, yeah, there you go.
I might go visit.
See, I'd go visit Maria Osmond. Yeah,
be well, Donnie Marie was a song that did, until the 12th of never.
Oh, no.
And that's a long, long time.
I can't do the Marie part, though. Or was that the Marie part? I just wanted to be Jimmy, baby. Little Jimmy Osmond. He was... Such a cute little guy there. Sort of the I don't know what you'd call the yin to Michael Jackson's yang at that time. right on. So
we have not talked about riding at all. Or
we did some.
Well, a little bit.
But that's not what we do here, really.
No, not always. You know.
All right, so.
A bit of the underpinnings.
We've been out riding outside, but have you guys done any kind of virtual stuff, virtual riding, or like, I would consider listening to Kim West in the morning kind of a virtual thing since he's doing a live thing on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, Well, you got to kind of be inside and work from home now and sort of, JK's got, tell us about your setup, because I think it's pretty good how he's positioned himself in his working environment.
Well, yeah, I have the dining room table where I have my workstation slightly askew. I have to pull the dining room table a little bit closer to the living room to get the good line of sight for the TV, which will have something on, either the Star Wars or the Marvel Cinematic Universe in order, because why not?
Just kind of background.
Yeah, exactly. Something chaff. There. Or like the 10-hour, you know, fireplace just to set the mood, listen to MSC on the spy speaker behind me. I got my turntable on the other side if I really want to, like, not
throw some
work, because then I'll just be, like, thinking of what I'm going to put on next.
It's the DJ in you, baby.
That's part about vinyl.
But it's just a nice setup, you know. I mean, it could be so much worse, but.
True that.
Yeah, and you're working.
I'm doing what I was doing at work. Just, I have better views.
Yeah.
You know, and sounds. And I don't have to sit there with little damn earbuds, so I'm not polluting the air of the office and blah, blah, blah.
It's I get to be chilling at home, and all of a sudden my dog runs up, is in the middle of a call, and like jumps in my lap.
What happened to the secret door so the dog can't get through?
I'm working on that door. The door ain't there yet. But, you know, so in the meantime, 70 pounds of love comes running at you like a freight train.
That's a big dog.
She's a big dog. Yeah. She loves to, and, you know, so it's kind of fun because.
Yeah.
I will tell people, because I'm working remotely for this medical facility, I'm like, look, occasionally my dog might run in here.
I actually had to do
it happens. And so I got to deal with it.
A Zoom call or Microsoft Team or whatever it was. Not trying to product place or anything.
That's how it works. right now, it's what you're after.
Well, I just can't even remember what the hell they are, but it was like, oh, okay, doing that. I'm like, hey, sorry, my freaking bobcat's going to like jump in the frame at some point in time, or I'm going to like scream at it, which is, you know, more interaction than I really have with my coworker when I'm terrestrially at work.
Yeah,
it's like exactly. I have to fuck around with this little bastard all the day long.
Tony and I were telecommuting up in Pembine for years, since 99.
Perfect.
So when we first moved up there and I was building the house, we have a log house up there, and I I cut down the trees and peeled them and all that kind of shit.
Jesus.
And
nice.
Yeah. And so while I was building it, we were living in a 28-foot travel trailer out in the back at an outhouse. And we were actually working for a human resource consulting company at the same time. So you talk about having dogs around. We had 23 dogs.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Sled dog kennel and stuff. It was great. It was just fantastic. That so we're all, you know, what you guys are going through now, going at home, we did it all the time.
Right, right.
Back in the day. I love hanging out at home.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic, you know. The other Monday.
And I'm an only child, so I've had training on the I can occupy my time.
So, you know, put you in front of the TV and just say, here's a beer and shut up.
I'm in the middle of work on Monday, and I go upstairs for lunch from my basement to my, and my wife is pulling out a full rack of barbecued ribs.
Nice.
For lunch with mashed potatoes.
She's trying to do you in. She's trying to kill you dead.
I was like,
kill you dead.
I'm like, oh my God, this is like lunch?
I'm not sure mashed potatoes are the best combination with ribs. I'm going to say that you should have red potatoes that you roast, and then when you take, roast them, put them with some garlic and some
well, these have a lot of garlic in them,
and
lots of olive oil. Yeah, but I do like a rib tip done that way, or a purple.
Yeah,
but all right,
Tony. Tony,
but it was Monday, for lunch, and a rack of ribs comes out. There are advantages right now.
Yeah, to be confined
at home with my wife.
I was tempted to fire the grill up yesterday early, but
it was a nice day.
Cycling had to.
And hail happened yesterday while we were cycling.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
I felt that.
Yeah. I threw one at JK and he tried to catch it. It hurt his little hand.
It did.
Yeah, that was pretty serious. It was so short too.
Oh yeah,
the water going past like here and your place because I ran across to Sunrise was like
really, you
know, halfway into the street. It's like, wow, this happened like that, and it was gone like that.
And we kept going. Oh, it's going to go north of us, which we were south of here by a mile.
All right,
and we didn't get super hammered, but we did get the hail. But you could tell that it was like we were just on the edge of getting really wet, really wet.
And we still got snow on the ground up north, you know, not everywhere, but, you know, if you're out in the woods and stuff in certain spots, there's still, you know, 8-10 inches of snow on the ground.
So Pembine is, I'm not exactly, is it in Bayfield County?
No, it's straight north.
Oh, okay.
Straight north is in Marinette County. So gotcha. If you went, you know, 3 hours, 3 hours and 15 minutes, you go 7 over, you know, don't stop to pee or anything.
Do you get to the Red Road up there still? Is
the
there?
Red Road.
We used to go up to Houghton in Michigan. So on the way up there, there's a spot where one of the counties goes from blacktop to the road being somewhat of a red composite that's some kind of asphalt, but you could tell you're getting close because the road turns red and it's
well that's because
you're like that's when you can crack a beer in the car. Wait, that was back in the old days, so that's not current now.
No roadies are allowed.
That was a good hour from Houghton or something like that.
That's you're in Iron County, so
that makes sense.
Yeah, you're up. That's because they have all the that, and then you are right though, because all the gravel that they're getting from the gravel pits have got a lot of iron in it, so the iron rusts, and so that's why it gets everything is red.
Copy that. Well, that makes much more sense than what I was thinking, was that they kept killing people and burying them in the road.
The streets are on the red with the blood of my enemies.
I grew up kind of half in Milwaukee and half in northern Wisconsin, okay. But my dad cut pulpwood. And so we were out in the woods all the time. I can tell you stories about stuff, you know. No dead bodies or anything like that.
Oh, damn it. Well, then why tell stories?
A lot of drinking going on, you know.
Oh, okay, tell stories.
Chainsaws and, you know.
You still have all your digits, though, no?
Yeah, I do, but I do have a few cuts on my hands.
A few little nicks here and there.
Divots and digits.
Any crazy mishap since you've started the brewery that's like funny
here? So I was making I wanted to make a beer with rye and oats in it, and one of the things when you're working with some of these different types of grains, they've got a lot of glucan, and glucan is basically kind of the slimy stuff when you make a bowl of oatmeal and you pick it up and it's kind of like stretches. That's glucan, and oats have a lot of that. Rye has even more. It's very thick, very oily. And so I kind of overdid the amount of rye and oat that I had in there. And what happens is that you cannot actually drain any of the grain, I mean, any of the water off of there, the wort.
Won't come through.
Nope, won't come through because it just becomes a big pile of snot.
Oh.
So I basically what I had to open up the mash tun, and I had like 1,100 pounds of this
goo
all over the floor.
was it like ectoplasm?
Yes, it was very much like slime.
Yeah.
And so we had to sit there and just, you know.
He knows it.
That became milorganite, I believe, is what happened with that.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's a lesson learned then, huh?
How was the beer?
No, I don't know. We didn't get any beer out of it.
Oh, really?
No beer at all.
You had to lose it all.
Dumped the whole goddamn
thing. Oh, man. Oh, shit.
Yeah, you know.
It happens.
So are you guys considered an essential business? Or is it more the takeout portion because of the licensing and whatnot?
There's two portions of what we do. One is the wholesale side, which is regulated by Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. So that means when I'm manufacturing beer in the back, I could have 75 people working back there right now because that's considered essential, and we have to do what we do. I don't have 75 people back there, but it's an example.
There's like 62.
Yeah. And then in the tap room, everything is all carry out. So, because that's regulated by the Department of Revenue. And so it's kind of weird because you've got two different entities that kind of regulate what you can do. So like tomorrow we'll do some canning. So I'll have some people come in to make sure that gets done. Otherwise, in where we're at right now, it's just me and Tony
right.
selling cans. Because, you know, I mean, half the time, I mean, so we play a lot of cribbage. And
any mumbledy peg?
Not as far as I know.
It's a knife game.
Oh, no. and I have a puzzle I've been working on.
I thought
for
that
a
would
while.
Explain the nicks on your fingers. Cause...
No, that's just all the things I. You know, it's just chainsaws and stuff like that. Draw knives. But no, so, you know, it's actually been. I'm not going to tell you it's been great, but it's been better than I expected. You know, we've had a lot of people who come in, you know, buy one or two, and that helps a lot. I think that, you know, there's been some people who are like, you know, if things continue like this, we're going to be done, you know, pretty quick. We're going to be here. I really doubt that we're going to get through this. You know, I don't think there's any problem with that. We've been, because I think one of the things about having your own business, one of the most important skills that you have to have, I don't know if it's a skill, but maybe it's a trait, and that's being resilient, because there's always going to be something that happens that's going to knock you on your ass, and you can either get knocked on your ass and go home and cry, or you can get back up and keep on working at it. Well, that's kind of, we might go home and cry, but then we're going to get back and get back to work.
Tim, your beer's always going to be seeked. I mean, it's...
Well, thank you.
I mean... Yeah, you are not going anywhere. We're going to make damn sure.
If we have to support you, damn it, we'll be over there every day.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's fantastic. I mean,
being a bike shop, we're an essential business to keep people rolling. It's kind of interesting because I'm not really allowing most people in the shop unless I have a previous relationship with them and kind of have a trust, you know, thing. I have to talk to people out on the sidewalk, which is kind of interesting on Locust Street, you know. That said, the traffic is way down.
Yes,
it is. So that's the most beautiful thing that's happened about this whole situation is the traffic out there and the jackassery is at an all-time low.
I agree with that 100%.
That's amazing.
Yeah, nobody's crashed into the building this week. Nobody's taken out the signpost this week.
I walked across the street without any hesitation.
At 5 p.m. in the
afternoon. Yeah, it was like, this is unbelievable that there is, you know, yeah, there are still a few cars. But wow. Wow.
The spacing is...
So
there's now
definitive spacing.
I've seen three people run this red light at Fratney.
That's unfortunate.
And literally like laissez-faire. Like they looked, they slowed down, they looked, there was no one coming, and they blew through it. It wasn't like, oh, I screwed up and didn't realize it was red. Mm-hmm. It was, I'm blowing this light. And, you know, I think there's going to be a little bit of that out there as things progress. But still, it was like, if you're on your bike, be careful.
Yeah, be safe. You know, don't go where the cars are. That's basically my motto. You know, I tend to ride in places where there are no cars, alleys and
I was coming home from
woods
a ride.
And things.
Yeah, but it is, you got to be careful. I mean, at lights is what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like you don't necessarily... You can't assure someone's going to stop. You've got to be, you know, ready to realize that right now people could think that is an option.
Right on. Well, I think that kind of about wraps it up. Tim, thanks very much for joining us and chatting bullshittery here at the old Full Spectrum Cycling thing.
Right.
That we do here every Wednesday.
This was pretty normal, actually. Well,
yeah, man.
Things will get back to normal. Well,
it's not like we won't have you on again. I think when it gets a little warmer outside and the danger of the current situation goes away, we'll probably do some of these from out on the old fire patio over there at your place. You can sit right out there. With me. This is a totally portable rig if we want to make it that way. So
Could we do it on bikes?
Possibly. We'd have to go wireless probably. I don't know if I can... If you have to keep the headphone cables like in the right, that would be kind of fun.
We can do that. It would be a blast. Yeah. That's part of the challenge.
Just take out people on the way down the path.
Yeah, Tour de France guys lighting cigarettes for each other.
Exactly.
Just like four abreast.
Did you watch Kim's show today at all?
I only tuned in for a second.
So they had a discussion about these people that are doing yoga as a big thing to do now when you're in your house and maybe you're a yoga instructor and you can't do your classes, so you're doing them virtually and you're doing your things. And it's like, can you do the handstand and remove your t-shirt or remove your tights or something? And Kim was talking about how Tour de France riders, not only can they, you know, make water anytime they want, but they can ride with one leg, pull their bibs off and stuff. And it's just like, they're on their bikes for 8 hours a day. They can pretty much do anything that's required on the bike. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah, but anyway, I guess we'll do this next week. If people keep listening to the show, I guess.
What show is this? 55?
Yeah. Our one listener called last week and said, keep doing it, guys. So
cool.
That's what we're going to do. All right, everybody. Peace out.
Is next week your birthday?
No. Maybe.